Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Let me say that again for you. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out for you so that you can endure it. Are you going to trust these words of Scripture? Are you going to believe that it's the truth for you? Or are you going to maintain that you are a special case in the history of mankind? That God, in all of his wisdom, just couldn't imagine your struggles that you are facing today? That you are justified in giving into your temptation because your sin is much too powerful for God Almighty to handle? Really? But you may say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard it is for me to say no. You don't understand how difficult it is to resist this temptation. Here's the truth. Your sin is too powerful for you. Let's be honest. It's too powerful for you to face alone. Too powerful for you to face alone. However, because God is faithful to you, your sin does not stand a chance. It does not hold power over you when you seek God for help. He promises that. No temptation has overtaken you. No temptation except what is common to mankind. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out for you so that you can endure it. I can already hear the arguments, though. But there weren't cell phones in biblical times. God had no idea when it was written this way. There weren't methamphetamines in the Bible. How do we expect people to fight that temptation? People were nicer back then, so there wasn't as much to gossip about. The world is a lot worse today than it was back in Jesus' time. Now, this passage is not saying that the temptations you face aren't horribly difficult, maybe even more difficult than they were back then, but it's saying that experiencing temptation is a common predicament to every human being at every time in history and will be for the future. For us to believe that our personal temptations are so much more tempting than anyone in history has ever experienced, it's just sort of a little narcissistic, egotistical, short-sighted. We can't imagine what it was like for people, but it's common. It's a normal thing to experience. Everybody experiences it. I want you to ask, what is the biggest temptation for you in your life, or just in a regular day? The one that you just can't quite quit. Have you made a plan for how to deal with it? Probably not. I mean, that's part of the problem. The devil has a plan all in place to tempt you down the road of destruction. He's got a plan. And God has a plan to provide you a way out so that you can endure those temptations. But you and I, we have absolutely no plan in place for how to deal with the temptations, even though we know that we're going to face them every single day, often the same one over and over and over again. So when you leave today, there's a half sheet of paper that I'm going to hand out to you, or have somebody hand out to you over here. And there's three blanks for temptations, three blanks for fighting the battle against it. And I want you to fill it out when you get home sometime. I know it seems silly, but I did it, and it takes some thought. I want you to fill it out at some point, because I want you to really think, what could I do to fight this temptation? What scripture reading could I remember? What human earthly wisdom could I use? Who could I ask for help to fight against this thing? Because I believe that a lot of us just fall into these temptations simply because we are unprepared. So don't just forget to take the paper home. Don't just take the paper home and throw it away. Really think about it. And it might make a really big difference for you. I know it did for me. That's what St. Paul is talking about when he refers to the armor of God in the book of Ephesians. He understood that every single Christian is going to be tempted by the devil every single day of their lives. So before they get out of bed, before they leave for work each day, he reminded them to prepare themselves for the battle that was coming by putting on the belt of truth to be honest about their shortcomings and committed to personal integrity by covering themselves with the breastplate of righteousness so that they would put their trust in Jesus for their forgiveness rather than their own righteousness. Donning the helmet of salvation so that their mind might rest on godly things and not earthly things. Fitted with the sandals of peace so that they might be peacemakers in the world rather than troublemakers. Finally, Paul reminded them to fight the battle against temptation with the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God, the Bible, which the devil can never defeat. It's our best weapon against him. So in my house recently, we got a new puppy, a standard-sized golden doodle. Now, for those of you who have raised a puppy, you understand that if you want to be successful, you need to be prepared. If you just let a puppy loose in your house, you're going to have a lot of chewed shoes, among various other things. You'll figure out what's not puppy-proofed, just let them go. They'll find it. So if you don't keep track of the time when the puppy goes out to go potty, he will more than likely pee on the floor because you weren't ready to take him out again. If you want to keep your dog in the house, you better teach them to stop and stay at the doorway or else they'll run out. If you want to reward good behavior, you got to have treats in your pocket or you're not going to be able to. So by being prepared, you keep a puppy happy, but you also keep them safe, and that's really important. It's the same thing for us as human beings. If you want to be safe and happy, we need to recognize that the temptations are going to be there. You just can't let us loose on the world. We're going to find all the problems and get ourselves into trouble. It's a common thing to happen to us as human beings. So we need to have a plan to deal with it. God promises to always give us a way out of any situation, so we need to look to him. In the gospel story today, Jesus was tempted three times. Why did the devil tempt him with bread? Well, because he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The guy was hungry. That's why he was tempted with bread. Why did the devil tempt Jesus to have a power over the whole world, to be a king, to be a ruler over the whole world? Because Jesus' call was to humility. It would have been tempting to take that crown that was rightfully his. And finally, why did the devil tempt Jesus to prove his divinity by jumping off the temple? Because Jesus was also called to a life of suffering. You can imagine how difficult it would be not to ask God to just take it all away and take away this suffering. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's exactly what Jesus did. But he didn't give in to that temptation. He said, whatever your will is, that's what I want to follow. So what are your temptations going to be? I mean, how are you going to prepare to fight them? The devil is going to find the weak spots, is my point. So if you have a temptation to drink too much alcohol, for instance, ask yourself why and when you drink. I mean, you better think about that if you want to be prepared to actually fight it. What are your triggers? That's a fancy word nowadays. If you want to stop drinking, you might have to stay away from the people who you're always drinking with. That might be a good idea. If you drink when you're really sad or stressed out, you might want to stay away from them, especially when you're sad and stressed out. You might want to list some other ways that you would choose to cope the next time you feel those things happening to you. If you want to go to church on Sunday mornings, way to go, everybody, you're here. But if you want to make sure that you don't miss the early service on Sunday mornings, you might start by planning your Saturday nights more carefully. If you think you can stay up until 2 a.m. Saturday night and then still wake up bright and early Sunday morning, that temptation to sleep is going to be really overwhelming. However, if you go to bed at a decent time, you might just have enough sleep to do what you want to do. If you never find the time to read your Bible, you got to do what the late Jim Yeager told us to do a long time ago in the congregation. Put a Bible in your bathroom. As long as you take your Metamucil, stay regular, whatever that means to you, you will have enough opportunities to read a chapter or two every day. But the scripture passage that we read today is not just encouraging us to use our own human wisdom to prepare to fight against temptation. Jesus provides us the perfect example of how to fight temptation by turning our eyes to God. Remember, God will provide a way out of temptation. How can we prepare ourselves to look at him? The first thing to do is something I already mentioned. You're all doing a really good job today. You're worshiping God. You're taking time out of your week to come to church. It's a way for us to, it's a way for God, I think, to hold us accountable, to be the people that we confess to be when we want, or that we want to become His followers. Now, in many pastoral visits with people who are struggling with temptations, one of the things they tell me most often is that when they don't come to church, when they get out of the habit, they tend to lose the strength to resist. I don't have any scientific studies to tell you why. I'm just telling you from my experience, this is a common thing that people tell me. They stop coming to church, and then their life slowly starts to unravel. There's a great story. You've probably heard it before, but the way I heard the story is there was a pastor that went to call on an older man who had stopped coming to church. And so the man opened up the door, saw the pastor, and just sort of motioned him in, didn't say a word. They both sat in the living room, and there was a fire going on in the fireplace. And they both sat there completely quiet. And then after quite a long time, the pastor got up and got some tongs from the fire and pulled out a glowing coal and set it there on the mantle right in front. And then he sat back down, didn't say a word. And they slowly watched the coal go cold and dark. Then the pastor got back up and put the coal back into the fire and started heating up again and started glowing again. And finally the man said, "I understand, Pastor. I'll be back in church on Sunday." At least that's how I heard the story. So, you know, the point is, when we're separated from our community, we tend to grow cold. We tend to lose that fire that was in us for Jesus. But it's not too late. Once we're placed back in that community, the Holy Spirit can work in our hearts to get us back on fire for the Lord. Now, the second helpful thing to do besides going to worship is to pray. Not just before bedtime and meals, okay, but pray when the temptation is attacking you, when it's happening. Ask God for help. I know that might seem very obvious. I think it's obvious, but I cannot tell you how many times I personally have fallen into temptation without ever asking God to help me. Like, I literally don't ask Him. When it's happening, I don't ask Him. I think about asking God right after I've fallen into temptation when I need forgiveness. But I don't do it at the time. But if you really want to say no, ask God to help you do it. Perhaps the reason we don't ask God for help to fight temptation is because we don't really want to fight it. We don't really want to resist in the first place. But that's not the temptation that's the problem, but our sinfulness that needs to be addressed. When we're training this little puppy, one of the first things that I've been learning about is how important it is to get him to look at me. Right? Look at me. Give him a treat. Look at me. With no distractions at first, and then with lots of distractions, trying to get him to look at you. So that the idea is when they get out with their lots of distractions, if they're about to run away, they'll get used to looking at you first, to get permission before they're supposed to do something else, right? To make sure, is this okay? Is it okay if I do this? To look at me. And I think God would like us to do the same thing. Before we're about to fall into temptation, to look at Him, to ask Him, is this the right thing for me to do? Should I be doing this? Can you give me help to fight this? To look at Him right away. That's the idea. Praying to God will truly help us to fight temptation in a very strong way. Finally, another really great way of fighting temptation is to do things like reading your Bible, doing devotions, listening to Christian messages, listening to Christian radio even, filling your life with positive words, with God's word. And you'll find that things just aren't quite as tempting as they used to be. Philippians 4:8 says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Fill your life with people who are going to lift you up rather than tear you down. And you'll find that there are not only fewer temptations in your life, but the strength of those temptations will be reduced a lot. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So plan how you're going to fight temptations. Fill out those papers when you leave. And finally, ask God for help. Look to Him, because He is more than willing to help, to provide a way out for you. You will not only be happier and healthier, but you'll find yourself having a closer relationship with Him and recognize His great love for you each and every day of your life. Amen.